In exciting gaming news, Bellatro wins formal appeal to reclassify poker game as PEGI 12.
Is that a good thing?
Yes.
I mean, I guess, okay, you're right, right, yeah. So, like, Bellatro itself is getting classified as PEGI 12.
Yes.
They're not getting poker as a category classified as PEGI 12.
No. So, Bellatro...
Right, because they had that whole thing they were being stuck as, like, gambling.
Yes. This is an article by Vicky Blake, contributor to Eurogamer.net. On the basis of the appeal, the PEGI experts group will develop a more granular set of classification criteria. Developer Local Thunk commented on its perceived mishandling of the game's rating about a year ago, stating it was a mistaken belief that the game contains a prominent gambling imagery when materials that instructs about gambling, stating, "It is what it is." I thought that was a good line. So that means the pilgrimage can be spread to those between the ages of 12 and 17 without them having to consult their parents.
Yes, that's what Bellatro needs, is more players.
It has, in fact, since last August and last year's Game Awards, surpassed 5 million copies sold.
Wow.
Last August, it was at 2 million. So, yeah. Well... Sorry,
me too.
No, I'm just putting, yeah, we got it.
Same.
We just got, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, we got to put this away. We can't.
Yep.
We got to start the show. This week, we plant a whole bunch of Flungus and Grungus plants and explore a weird alien spaceship in Ultros.
Then in the back half of our show, I hope you're ready for a heated debate on our favorite weightlifting techniques.
I'm going to win that debate handily. Shrimp! Welcome to Light Gaming, the lighthearted gaming podcast about very light games. Games that don't take up too much of your time. And I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis. And rolling for an initiative, it's our co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Ooh, that's a six.
That's not great.
You're not going fast in the turn order.
The kobolds are quicker than me, it looks like.
Yeah, you're gonna lose a couple of your ankles.
So, Jerome, tell me, for this week's light game, Ultros, how many hours did you say you had it in again?
I had 60 hours, but that's because I was doing science. And what does that mean? Well, how about you explain what Ultros is to begin with?
Oh, boy, where do we start? Is Ultros everything?
No.
Okay.
Sorry to shut that down, but it's not.
Ultros is a Metroidvania game, I guess I would call it. It is hard to pin down.
But it isn't. I mean, it has a 2D side-scrolling kind of grid map.
Yep, it's got zones that you can't get into at the start that you can unlock with other powers later.
Mm-hmm.
It's
got the double jump.
Yeah, you get a double jump pretty quickly.
Got a sword.
Yeah, you got a sword, you got a juggle system you can use to bounce enemies around. There's a nutrition system that you could use to eat fruit that then changes your stats that you then dump into attributes.
Yeah.
And there's also...
There's abilities you unlock with such things. And there's, I think most importantly, plants!
There are so many plants.
There are plants.
There are plants everywhere. Okay. We're not doing a good job.
I think we're doing a fantastic job.
This game has an incredible art style and incredible audio design also. The audio design and the art style complement each other perfectly. It very classical new age, I would say. Very, like, obviously, I don't know all the cultural references being pulled on. A lot of, like, you know, I would say Indian, Southeast Asian stuff is very much pulled in here. A lot of sort of, how would you describe it?
It's very graphic, brightly colored, very bold colors, very few pastels in this, very bold neon colors. All the shapes are very thickly outlined, it's cartoonish, but almost in a way that is sort of graffiti-like.
A bit of Moebius in here also, very popular lately.
Yes. It is grotesque in a lot of ways as well. It's like a rainbow bright Geiger.
If you yes, think about also that.
That kind of thing. It's a truly psychedelic experience going through this game that has very little, not zero, but very little dialogue going into it. Not quite to the level of something like Hollow Knight, where you're getting very little. There is still a story that is being, that you are able to unfold and pretty much discern without a whole, without having to listen to a 60-hour recap episode about it. But I think it still does a good job of abstracting what it's really talking about with its themes, with its connection to, with connection to nature, the irony of a science fiction spaceship all being alit with this flora and fauna. And
I think this game earns the word psychedelic also. Like sometimes mm-hmm. people are like, oh man, you gotta check this thing out, it's so psychedelic, man.
Like the Artful Escape, it's like, oh, this is pretty. I don't know if it's actually psychedelic.
But. No, this I think fits very neatly into like everything associated with psychedelic aside from just sort of like
and colors. I didn't really mean to throw a stray bullet at Artful Escape, but I was just like, it's the first thing I could think of where it's like, yeah, it's like evoking something, but no, this is it's a boundary pushing art style that is, I think, exquisite. And you had mentioned the sound design, the composer of this is, of course, Rat Vader, a name I've shouted out before in our productivity episode last March. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Was it March? Or was it something around
there?
I think that was BeamNG.drive month, just miscellany. And this soundtrack is one I return to quite frequently for productivity and calmness and background music, but also just in particular, there's this song that plays in the what I call the water level, the spa level.
Yeah, I love the spa.
Oh, the spa level is so good. The spa level is so good. Now, here's...
This is one of my favorite games I've played in the last few years. Yeah, I gotta say that up top. This game
it's really
rules.
Good. It's really, really good. I will say, I think my major criticism of this game, if I were to have one, which I always do because I'm a little contrarian bitch. I think this game buries the lead a little too long with the biggest hook in this game. And we'll get into what the biggest hook is and why you should play it. But we're not going to, of course, spoil the story or the ending or the everything. But there's this... First, you get this... the whole central theme of this game is that you're pretty much an amnesiac, right? You're thrust into this... environment. Actually, I don't think your character's an amnesiac, but you as the player, you're kept in the dark.
Yeah, you have no idea what's going on.
But your player character is silent. You pick up this sword off this lifeless body, and a spirit starts talking to you, telling you to kind of giving you some guidance as to where to go, and you pick up this thing on a cord. I can't remember what it's called.
I can't either, but it's this little hovering thing that like follows you around
hovering,
on a cable.
It's like the actuator or the memory aider or something. Womp womp. It's called the extractor. Womp womp. And what it does, I just don't actually look at the text in this game is the problem. I'm just looking at the pictures. This game is so visceral and visual that the text of it kind of, I get kind of lost in. But anyway, back to my criticism. This thing is really cool. It's sort of your central hub for all your powers. And it, unfortunately, every time you die, you lose it.
Also it's a time loop game.
Yeah, it's also a time loop game, but that's... We'll get it. That's like part of what makes the plant. It's very clever how they use time loops to make plants grow. The thing about this tool is, right? One, you do lose it when you die, and you do have to go back and get it. And that's, and I've mentioned my save file being corrupted by me having too many plants from doing too many science. But the thing about this tool is that it does contain pretty much every cool mechanic. And there is that little like repetitive loop of like having to go back to get it without your cool mechanics every time. That's a bit of a waste. And there's one mechanic wherein you are actually going to you end up later. This is pretty like, again, they bear this so deep that it almost feels like a spoiler, but I'm gonna say it anyway because I think this should have been up the fuck top. You connect to eventually what's called a living network, and this living network is basically bees.
Yeah,
basically. And then like you string with bees? Your machine around and using you string your machine around and try to connect all the bees to all the save points, and that unlocks the fast travel. And this game really I think this game really is starts to really sing after that mechanic is unlocked. I'm like, God, if that were sooner, I wouldn't have had to just waste so much fucking time.
Yeah, so I want to spin that off a bit into a little slightly more holistic discussion about Ultros, because like this game, as I was playing it, I was thinking like, this feels like an older game in a good way, in that it's okay. If I compare it to Nine Souls, which I played at the start of the year, right? Talked about in our first episode, right? Everything in that game is incredibly precise. That, and I don't just mean like the combat is tuned super precisely. I mean like all the systems are tuned. It is all designed to kind of like lead you down this very particular kind of like gameplay path, like of mastery that you're expected to develop by the end of the game.
Yeah.
Ultros is a mess. It's like they had they took every idea they had and threw it in here, and some of them weren't very good.
Yeah.
Like I don't know that I love the level with all of like the mini games and stuff like that. I don't know.
Oh, how I liked that one, the game show level. That was fun. You had to compete against the other, like the other alien bugs.
I didn't have fun playing it, but I like that it's in here. In some ways, this feels like a weird game that came out in like 2004.
It does.
Where like a bunch of just like, and like, and
some of the combat too feels a little dated, to be honest. Too, like
the combat stops mattering halfway through.
It's like it kind of doesn't, because eventually you unlock the ability to just like pacify anything with your plants and other stuff, and it's really cool how. In an Undertale-esque way, you start to shift your loops from killing everything to saving everything and connecting it to the living network. And when you do so, the map starts to open up and different cutscenes play out and monsters behave in different ways. And you have different platforms unlocked by the tree trunks that you're growing, or maybe you're completely... surrounded by the staccato plants.
hate them, love them, hate them.
Oh, they're incredible. There are these plants that, I mean, every plant has its upsides and downsides. Some plants will create long running, like runways for you to Samus dash through. Other plants will create trees with little branches you can jump off of. And one plant just spawns thorny brambles. And you're like, why the fuck? What good is that plant? Well...
Well, if you need to cover a lot of ground quickly for your living network.
Yes, you can. That's its big deal. You can eventually get into, and I think this is my favorite thing, is the splicing mechanic. You end up splicing certain plants onto other plants, and then you start infinitely splicing your staccato plants together, and you make a whole sticker brush symphony for yourself that traps you in.
Well,
and then you can, and then if you do that, you can wake up in a previous cycle. Just try to maybe... not have cycles that are 20 hours long.
I want to hear your whole anecdote again at some point now that I have more context for it. But like, here's the thing.
Okay.
Splicing mechanic. Yeah. I really enjoy when it works. I can't stand it most of the time.
I love
when I'm like tweaking this thumbstick to try and get the little cursor to line up exactly
I love that. It's so funny. You're just like, give me it. Come on, get out of the
But again, like it's this level of jank that I have like genuine admiration for, right? Because they just went for it. The nutrition system, again, kind of stops mattering halfway through.
Where well, it's like, yeah, because, okay, so the nutrition system, you can first, you can either eat bug guts, or you can eat plants, and you get nutrition that is like one of four colors. They all have their own names, just some little flavorful lore building. And then you can spend some of your meter in your talent tree to unlock certain abilities, like
each ability
an air dash or
takes a different combination of the four colored bars.
Yeah. But eventually you do unlock some memory cores as you explore the map that lets you lock certain things into place, and you can start to grow and develop your character and choose what you like the most out of them. And then, I mean, even beyond that, what's cool is that eventually you start getting sort of good at the combat, and rather than just getting shitty guts, you get the perfect guts from hitting monsters with different attacks every time before they die. But then eventually you just start pacifying the monsters and having so many plants that you don't necessarily even need to do that. So there's like this cool, very unexpected way in which I feel like I was playing the game the more I played it. Like I wasn't normally in a rogue game like this, you're just like fucking crushing these things. You've got all the patterns down. You got everything right. But this game just takes a hard left and tells you, hey, this you're doing it all wrong. But it doesn't do it in a way that punishes you.
No, I think the greatest trick this game pulls overall is exactly that, right? Is that at the start of the game, when I'm like upgrading my abilities every loop, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't need any of this plant shit. Give me all the combat stuff.
Yeah.
And by like the back third of the game, I'm like, I don't need any of this combat shit. Like, give me all the plant abilities.
Give me the plants. It is a veritable little shop of horrors in many ways.
Just to clarify, it's like these plants are persistent every time you restart, and they can go anywhere and everywhere basically in the entire enormous map, and you can put any plant anywhere and it will grow. And it might not be useful where you put it.
Yeah.
But you have this, like the whole thing ends up being this enormous customized garden where like the majority of like things that are like, you know, growing in this world by the time that you end the game are probably put there by you.
Yeah, and you can, if you don't like what you've done, you can end a loop at any time, basically, by dying. you can gather the fruits of the trees and the plants that grow over the next cycle, so some time has passed, and then replant and use your umbilical shovel, let's call it, and uproot some of your plants and plant new ones and try something else. So it is a game about trial and error, and you know certain plants are going to allow you to find unlockable secrets hidden in the walls and things like that. Certain plants will just like break through the walls. Certain plants will do all sorts of surprising and fun interactions, and it's surprising and fun to find what kinds of combinations of splicing works and what doesn't. As well,
there are some plants, honestly, at the end of the game, I hadn't even really found a use for it yet. Like, I'm sure that, like, they're useful for something. Mm-hmm. But, like, the thing that makes the spike balls, I don't know what to do with those.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're basically for the living network, because you can just splice them on anything, and then they grow nodes.
Nice. Okay.
They're, like, literally, yeah, they're totally useless. But, in fact, they're actually the best plant in the game. And, yeah, so how far did you end up getting in this game?
I ended up beating it.
Great. Okay. I still have not rolled credits.
I will say this.
My life has been so busy that on my second playthrough, I still have not been able to roll credits with, you know, I mean, I've told you personally why I have not been able to do it, but I was able to get back in and get into the rhythm things, and I still want to keep playing this game when I have space.
You've almost hit credits though, right?
I have hit, I'm like 6 or 7 out of 8.
Oh, okay.
Shamans. So I haven't gotten the first ending yet still. Because I was like going back and doing a whole lot of stuff, and I can't wait to do it. So you have to keep.
There are things I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, you have to keep something secret from me.
Okay, there's things I'm not going to tell you.
I'm really excited to know.
Wow, I'm
60 hours in this game, not having beaten it.
Playing through this game, and I was like, man, I can't see how Jerome spent 60 hours in this. And then I hit the first ending and was like, oh, okay, I get it now. But no, yes. Actually, no, you haven't. You've not even hit the first ending yet.
I was just fucking around. I like the plants.
Okay. So give me the abbreviated version again. Now that I understand this game and its systems, what was it that happened? You just had a billion seeds in your inventory?
No. I had a billion plants in my ship. And there were too many plants. So I spliced the shit out of that spiky plant. And then I connected the living network to that starting save point, like underneath in the temple. And I used the spiky one to go up and around where you spawn in. And I was unable to get out of the... I was unable to get out back up to where to get my sword from the gardener. I love the gardener, by the way. Shout out to the gardener. It's a gardener with an umlaut over the A. Anyway, I could like go down, but then when I went into the Mother's Embrace room, game just crashed. And that's where I filed the bug report. And they're like, yeah, you have too many plants in your save file.
God, okay. It was literally too many plants.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Too many plants. Yeah. So that's how 60 hours went. I was just fucking around.
It is the kind of game, like I didn't go quite that far, but I definitely spent like 50 minutes on one room where I was like, if I can just get the green thing over here to the orange scoop.
Exactly.
I gotta keep running back to their room and grabbing a little twig and using the splicer to like splice it on.
Now that's the kind of minutiae I appreciate. Not the minutiae of, I gotta go get my sword and my umbilical shovel again. you know?
Yes.
That's just sitting there fiddling, trying to aim the damn, trying to play. It's like playing snood with your damn splicer.
It's an entirely almost systems driven game, which is like we don't get so many of those anymore, especially in genres that aren't like strategy or management games, right?
Yeah,
like a Metroidvania style game that is this much sort of like just fucking around and like pushing things against each other and seeing how they interact. Mm-hmm. Like it's really cool.
Yeah,
I see why it has mixed reviews on Steam, because there are bits of this game that are infuriating.
Oh, really?
And like, for example, like if you got to the first boss and you were like, this jump sucks, this combat is not fun, I don't like this, I wouldn't blame you. But I think that like that the mix, despite having mixed reviews, because I can see why this would be a polarizing game, I think it should have sold a lot more. It's something special that isn't going to be to everyone's taste, but I think a lot more people should check out.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend any fans of Hollow Knight check this out, to be honest. It's not on the same caliber of it, just simply by it having been released in 2023 and it being in conversation, that level of conversation with Hollow Knight. Like, this does have its... does wear that influence on its sleeve a little bit with its ability system and just... the way the game sort of is with your protagonist and the way the story is sort of told around you. However, I still think that any fans of the genre would really appreciate this game if they get past, if they just know that it's a plant worth nurturing. Letting it grow in your... whatever, the metaphor is done. So
Fans of the genre will appreciate.
Fans of the... non-fans of the genre? Nah.
Yeah, no, if you don't like Metroidvanias or platformers or anything...
it's not even like a... it's not like a hard platformer.
No, it's not really.
Where this game has the edge over Hollow Knight, where you're not, like, gonna be dealing with... instant death jumps and bullshit like that.
Yeah, no, basically never. Like, it's not even any bottomless pits. You fall off the pit and it just like drops you back you where
find
you were.
It drops you back where you were, and you just or you find yourself somewhere else. Very, very extremely interesting game. Very beautiful. Worth checking out for the visuals and art alone. But the gameplay is unique and something we're probably not going to see for a very long time, if ever again.
Yeah, because like that was the last thing I wanted to say. Also, was like I went through a period about 10 years ago, right, where I was sort of like ravenous for like cool, interesting art styles and aesthetic directions for games and stuff like that. And like, and I played a lot of stuff and I almost got kind of burned out on like, oh man, yeah, people are making like a lot of games that are really pretty and interesting, but are not very fun to play or like have a whole lot going on worth engaging with besides the art. And like, it's nice to come back around to something to be like, oh, like not only is this game like aesthetically stunning, but also it has a lot of other really interesting ideas that like undergirding that and backing it up to make the entire thing sort of like fascinating to dig into and like, and appreciate, and not just that like it's got really nice graphics on an otherwise sort of like not particularly interesting set of gameplay systems.
Hell yeah. This game rules. Game claps, game slaps.
Ultros is sick.
Yeah. That was, I think, a good use of my prediction. Even if I still didn't end up beating it myself.
I'm glad that you put that one in there.
Oh boy. So we have a lot to talk about. We have the month of March coming up in our secondary segment. We are also going to do a fun, and I don't remember what Alex said, and that's not what we're doing. We're going to do a fun quiz segment. But first, we have to pay the bills, read our ad, do what we got to do. So that was our discussion on Ultros, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you bored of the same old packaged cookie snacks, day in and day out?
I'm fucking done with keyboard, man.
Are you looking for a little excitement in your post-lunch treat?
I'm ready for Oreo 2.0.
Do you want a real cream-filled cookie chocolate sandwich cookie that you twist, but with a twist?
Oh, wait, I twist it?
I'm TV and radio's Wenden Spryke.
Wenden Spryke?
Yep, from TV and radio. And this Valentine's Day, order the perfect gift of any flavor you can't find anywhere else with new Disco's 404 EOs. Try our spicy evening collection, packaged with exciting hot mango habanero Oreos, excuse me, scintillating scented candle wax Oreos, and titillating tree nut allergy Oreo flavors.
Okay, mango habanero sounds really good, actually.
All of our exciting and unique cream flavors are sandwiched between two delicious, crunchy Vanta Black cocoa cookies. No, we didn't get Anish Kapoor's approval, but fuck that guy. Maybe you want to put on a little smooth jazz for your partner? Sweet surround sound stereo? And hit them with some sensual flavors that bring you straight to the lounge. Like sexy secondhand smoke, wet leather couch, and freshly used saxophone reed. Even the packaging is exciting. Listen to the sensual sound it makes as I open up its tender insides, revealing its cookie goodness.
Yes! Oh, peel me back! Open me up!
That's right. But maybe the night is done, and it's time to spend some tender moments with your lover after a long, long game of Twister. Try some flavors to cool you down, like first-hand smoke, mouthwash, and cork. Here's a testimonial from our very, very satisfied customer.
I gotta say, I wasn't certain about the cork flavor, honestly, but I've had like 30 of these. These are really good. I could eat like, do we have more packages of these in the back? Like, how many did they send us?
You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Pedestrian, now be on your way. Get out of TV and radio's Wendon Sprikes sight.
Okay, but I'm going to take the toothpaste flavored ones with me.
Where did you get those?
They're right here, underneath the avocado.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Anyway, and if you can't take... And if you can't take it from that loser, take it from me, TV and Radio's Wendon Sprike.
I heard that.
404-EOS, the cream-filled chocolate sandwich cookies you twist with a twist.
We're back from our lovely little break. We got manicures and pedicures and buka cures.
Buka cures?
Yep.
What they did to my ass?
Yes. They put a mouth. They put a mouth on it and cured it.
Oh. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that explains why I taste the chair. Oh boy, interesting. Interesting flavor that. I should really
I love our stupid cyberpunk future.
I should really scrub that out. Anyway, what we're going to do now is we're going to do a couple of things if we got time for it. Looks like we do. We are going to play a little game. It's a quiz segment, and it is of course based off the Endwalker Final Fantasy XIV main story quest. It is a of the same name. It is a national park trivia quiz. This is, of course, His Park Materials.
Didn't we already do this at least once?
I don't think so.
We have used the His Park Materials quest for a pun for a segment name before.
It was certainly nominated for the Heffens Awards. Uh-oh, where did my quiz go?
This is going to be so embarrassing. All of my vacations are to national parks, but Lizzie is the one who knows things about them.
Oh, don't worry. I'm taking it with you this time.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're going to be taking a quiz from nationalparkstraveler.org. We're going to put on some nice park ambiance and take this quiz. But of course, I'm going to read question one. Spring, parentheses, April to May, close parentheses, is a great time to see blooming cacti at Big Bend National Park. Have you been?
I've not been to Big Bend.
I have not been to Big Bend either. Prickly pear is one such cactus that begins blooming in April with shades of yellow, orange, and melon blossoms. Okay, I'm going to let that slide, I guess. It sounds weird, though. Once the blooming is done and the flowers drop off, what is left are fleshy fruits on the prickly pear. These fruits go by another name. Is it A, tunas? B, Pattayas, C, Nopals, or D, cochineals?
Oh, I think this is Nopals, actually.
I'm going to say A, tuna. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write down our answers. Just going to need a little notepad. Just going to write them down. We don't need to memorialize this too much. Tuna? Surely it must be tuna. 2. Spring in the mountains does not always equate to spring in the lower elevations. The Paradise area of Mount Rainier National Park. Have you been to Mount Rainier National
Park? Yes, I've been to Mount Rainier. It is beautiful.
That sounds great. I have not been to Mount Rainier National Park.
Very damp.
Very damp. For example, that park that we just talked about, for example, still has quite a bit of snow thickly blanketing up the trails there, lasting into July. So the first spring flowers you'll probably see in the higher elevations of the park will be glacier and avalanche lilies pushing through the ground. In the lowlands of this park, however, you'll know spring has arrived by the appearance of A. Alpine forget-me-not, B. Skunk cabbage, C. Alpine aster, or D. Passiflower.
Skunk cabbage, I think.
I'm going to go with alpine forget-me-not. I think there's 10 questions to this quiz, so bear with us. And maybe you'll learn something out there, gamers of light. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about how much knowledge we give you?
It's one of the most informative podcasts out there, I think.
Over 1,500 kinds of flowers are found in Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Wow.
More than any other North American national park. Starting the yearly show of blooms is a group of flowers known as A. Spring ephemerals, B. Spring perennials, C. Spring annuals, or D. Spring biennials.
This one doesn't feel fair.
I'm going to go with spring biennials because they're bi king.
I'm going to go with spring annuals.
Question 4. Let's stick with the Great Smoky Mountains for a little longer. An event called the Wildflower Pilgrimage is held at the end of April in the Great Smokies. People from all over the world convene to take classes on...
Put your phone down!
On just about anything and everything flower, shrub, tree, and botany related. Not including 2021. How long has this annual event been taking place? Option A, 50 years? Option B, 60 years? Option C, 70 years? Or option D, 80 years?
See, this is... I don't know if this is
pick
really
one.
Good quiz design.
Pick one. Just pick one.
70 years.
Quit your bitching and play the relaxing park game. I'm going to go with 60 years.
There's an art to quiz design.
Number 5. Castilleja is the scientific name for the paintbrush wildflowers, parentheses, Indian, pumice, magenta, and scarlet, closed parentheses. This flower shows up in many different national parks and other public lands during spring and early summer, including Big Bend, Mount Rainier, Crater Lake, and Arches National Parks. These bright, beautiful little flowers are quite opportunistic, digging their roots into neighboring plants to steal nutrients. Wow! They are therefore considered A. an obligate, B. mutualistic, C, holoparasitic, or D, hemiparasitic.
I'm going to go with hemiparasitic, okay. But obligate is a very funny answer.
I'm going to go with holoparasitic. 6. During your visit to Glacier National Park, have you been to Glacier National Park?
I've not been to Glacier.
Well,
it's on the list.
Okay. It is on the list of national parks. You're correct about that.
It is on our list. Never mind.
You might come across large and small patches of bear grass like I did during a hike to Red Rock Falls. True or false? Sorry, I just saw the options for this. You're gonna love it. True or false? Bear grass is not a flower, and bears don't particularly like it. A. True for both. B. False for both. C. True and false. So, bear grass is not a flower, and bears don't particularly like it. Is it true for both, false for both, or true and false?
standardized test rules would have me pick the third option, but I'm going to go with both true.
I'm going to go with that third option. I don't trust it. I would feel bad if it was true and false. 7. If you visit the southern portion of the Joshua Tree National Park around May, you'll be treated to desert willow blooming in various shades of pink. True or false? Desert willow is not a willow at all. A. True. And B. False.
The first trip we went on together was to Joshua Tree National Park. But I...
You don't know if this random flower isn't a willow or not?
We went in March. I don't know, man. It wasn't happening yet.
Is pick a true or a false?
False.
Okay. I'll go with the true. We're almost done. A visit to Big Hole National Battlefield in Montana is the location of the battle that took place on August 9th and 10th during Nez Perce Flight of 1877. This park unit not only introduces you to the history. Hey, Nez Perce, we learned about them in Nancy Drew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the horses and stuff.
Yeah, they did the horses.
They did something with the horses that was fine. I said that in a way that was suspicious. It was fine. They had really good animal husbandry. No, that doesn't. Plants and fish were the primary staple of the traditional Nez Perce diet. The blooming of Coos, Kamas, and Balsam Root were signs to the Nimiipuu that spring had arrived. I guess that's what they called themselves. And then we called them Nez Perce because, I don't know, we just make shit up. These edible wildflower plants are known as A. Root foods, B. Cassavas, C. Arracachas, or D. Swollen roots.
I'm going to go with A. Root foods.
I'm going to go with... I think it's wrong, but I'm going to go with cassavas.
We have not been to Big Hole, but when we were last in California...
Did you go to Medium Hole?
Actually, No, when we were in Maine, there was an attraction called Thunder Hole, which was this big sort of like hollow spot in the coastline where like if the water hits it just right, it creates this like thunderous noise. We were trying to find a good Thunder Hole magnet for you specifically.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
All the ones that we found were ugly, so we didn't bring you one back.
Okay. Death Valley National... Oh, this is number 9. Death Valley National Park is famous for its spring super blooms. On average, these super blooms tend to happen how often? A. Once a half decade. B. Once every 3 years. C. Once a decade. And D. Once every 2 decades.
I think it's like every 5 years, like half a decade.
Okay.
Because we have been trying to figure out timing to go see one.
I'm going to go with once every 3 years, because the others seem outrageous. And finally, number 10. Spring brings a plethora of wildflowers, including spring beauties, wild ginger, Jack in the Pulpit, and yellow violet. Doesn't really make sense for a name if you really think about it. To the Catoctin Mountain Park in Maryland. Several Maryland listed endangered, threatened, and watch list plant species also reside in the park. One such wildflower is listed as threatened by the state. Is the... Okay, this flower is threatened, I guess. A. Yellow trot lily. B. Cardinal flower. C. Purple fringed orchid. Or D. Bloodroot.
Purple fringed orchid.
Okay. Okay, you went there. I'm going to go with bloodroot. And now the results. Quiz answers. Number 1 is A.
Damn it.
Tunas. I was right.
I was actually confident on that one and completely wrong.
Yeah, I think the Nepal is the leaf of it. That's what they cook in
tacos. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
The flowers of cactus species vary in size and color, but are actually quite similar in structure. The fleshy fruits are called tunas on prickly pears. There's a whole bunch of trivia there. You can read the rest of it. I'm looking at our timer and... I would like to get going. So we're going to move on.
We can move pretty quick through
Number 2... is B, skunk cabbage. You got it.
Yeah. I just thought it sounded cool.
All right.
It's like cabbage, but it tastes awful.
Number 3 is A. Neither of us got it. So this is wildflowers are perennial since they grow back every year, but according to the girl, these group of they go by spring ephemerals, named because they appear above ground only late in winter.
Got it.
Early
okay.
spring. 4C. 4 is C. So that's you again, son of a bitch.
Which one was that? That was
Wildflower pilgrimage has been around for past 70 years.
70 years. Yeah, okay. I guessed at random. That's not.
You did great. You learned a lot. 5 is D. Oh, you're pulling way ahead. Oh, son of a bitch.
Do I get to pick a game at the end of a month that
no,
we have to play
fuck?
If I win this quiz?
It's 3-1. Casteja is a hemiparasitic. Number 6 is A. True for both. So it's 4-1. Beargrass is not a grass, and bears do not particularly like it. 7B. Shout out to all the bears out there. Go have some beargrass. See if you like it. 7. It B. True. You got that right again. It's related to catalpa trees, but its true willows are in the family Salicyae. But this one is in the family Bignoniaceae. 8. It's A. Oh, wow. You're really pulling ahead. 6-1 now.
Turns out I have all this root National foods. Park knowledge in my head after all.
Root foods were a staple. 9 is... Neither of us got this. Death Valley is famous for its spectacular, but it runs every 10 years.
10 years. Okay.
Every decade. And 10 is C. The purple-fringed orchid is rarely seen in the park, and its population is declining.
Wow.
Well, hold on. Let me just tally the points. We had a nice relaxing time. We had a nice relaxing time doing this quiz and
fuck! I'm super smart.
Fuck flowers!
This is why I did so well in those ACTs.
That has been our segment, His Park Materials. What'd you think?
I thought that got surprisingly fun. The first question you were like, oh, is this is gonna be like dry as hell? But
that was the aim.
we found our own amusements.
This is how I amuse myself, and I'm just taking you guys along for the ride.
I gotta find some quizzes and bring them sometime.
Well, it was related. Just I wanted to do something about flowers. Anyway,
yeah, no, that was a good one.
Well, that is gonna do it for our quiz segment and our game recap. We talked about Ultros today, and we've had a lovely February just playing a bunch of light games, and we've got another light game coming up next week because we are going to be talking about The Root Trees Are Dead.
I'd never heard of this before you put it on the list, but I'm already like an hour in. This thing is neat.
I'm very excited to sink my teeth into The Root Trees Are Dead. Slightly plant-themed, I guess, if you think about it.
It's about a family tree.
Yeah. It's a mystery game about a family tree, and that's about all I know of it. It's just one of those games where the less you know, the better. That's going to do it for this episode of Light Gaming. Thank you all so much for having listened to this episode. And thank you all so much for maybe checking out our socials. We got a link in the description of the episode. We've got posts on TikTok. We've got posts on YouTube. We've got posts on Blue Sky. And we got a Discord in there. You can come and talk to us. Tell us what games to play. Do it. Just do it. It's
do
fun.
It.
It's a good time. You can stay abreast of all the news for Light Gaming. If you have a moment and you haven't already rated and reviewed the show, we would be ever so grateful. Ever so grateful, sir. Please, sir. Can we have another click on the star button? That'll really convince people. If I do a bad Oliver Twist, I think that'll get people on board.
Hey, man, if they're not already in for that shit, they're not fans of the podcast anyway.
Fair enough. So thanks again for listening, and we will see you next week when we talk about The Root Trees Are Dead. But until then, I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I have been joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the gamers of Light.
Good morning. Wait, I fucked it up again.
Ah, damn it. Oh, well. Cork. Cork was my favorite.
I'm trying to imagine Cork. My other joke was going to be like mouthwash is just like mint. That's just like mint Oreos, but
no, it's mint alcohol. And you really cut the alcohol in the mouthwash.
Not to create more work for you, but it might even be funnier if you can get some like cookie crunching sound effect.
Oh yeah, we'll be fine.
Okay.